Welcome to the Get Planty podcast. I'm your host, Dusty Heggie, owner of Revive Nursery, author of Becoming Planty, a little bit obsessed with my black coffee. It is my passion to revive your heart and home through the incredible gift of houseplants. I know that when we care for God's creation, He will reveal Himself, and my goal is to help you be able to actually enjoy that precious, often difficult growth process. To not worry the whole time about whether or not you're going to kill your plant, but instead to learn as you go, give yourself grace, and take care of not only your plant collection, but also yourself. Each week, I'll bring you actionable houseplant care tips, incredible guests to unpack what it means to grow well, and leave you feeling so encouraged and inspired as you curate your own dreamy houseplant collection. So grab a cup of coffee, snuggle up next to your plants, and join me in the process of growing well and getting planty. Welcome to the second ever episode of the Grow Well segment on Get Planty Podcast. Guys, I'm pumped you're here because today I have an incredible conversation to share with you. I sat down with my friend Lila Higgins, who's a really dear friend of mine. We get to share a little bit about how we met in the episode, but she is a branding coach and designer at her own agency, The Higgins Creative. And not all of my guests that I bring on for the Grow Well segment are necessarily plant people, but they all have incredible wisdom and insight into what it really means to grow well. And I know that you need to hear what she has to say. We talk about how she built her brand agency and how it wasn't a straight, simple path. We talk about the value of growing slowly and maybe some actionable steps to put that into place, and some really, really good insight into her process of fighting against what it means to grow slowly and then coming to terms with what it really means to take it slow and to live life slowly and to allow growth to come slow. We also cover some light requirements for plants. We talk a lot about repotting. She asked some really good questions that I got to answer on the episode, which is always really fun when I get to bring in even more planty goodness for you guys, because I really do want to give you some actionable tips for houseplant care, and I want to inspire you to really consider what it means to grow well. Lila and her husband Zach are about to launch something incredible, and this episode is actually sponsored by it. So they are launching something called The Forge. The Forge is a leadership community for entrepreneurs who are looking for accountability, encouragement, strategy, and biblical wisdom, with an emphasis on cultivation of ministry, calling, and service. And you guys, we talk a little bit more about what The Forge is going to look like tangibly and as it comes to fruition. And I am 100% pumped because I know that what she and her husband Zach are about to do has not been done, or at least not been done really, really well in the online space. And what they're creating is something really unique. So if you are in the entrepreneurial space, I strongly recommend you go to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind. And there you can sign up to get early access when they launch it. And I believe that it's in the early launch phase right now. So when you get on their email list, you'll get a discounted like early access price to enter into this incredible community, because truly you're not going to miss out. So go to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind to learn more. All right, guys, let's jump into our conversation. Well, my conversation, you weren't a part of it, but you're about to be. Today we have Lila on. And Lila, do you want to just introduce who you are and what you do and what makes you excited about life?
Sure. That's very big. I will try to do my best.
You got this.
First of all, I'm a wife and a mom. I married my high school sweetheart. We have known each other since we were 15. And we have two kids, and they're 4 and 5, a boy and a girl. And I basically, when I got pregnant, I decided that I wanted to stay home with them. And I had grown up in fine art classes and kind of had a couple different adult level, not really college classes, kind of added on top of that. And I learned different programs, and I had kind of been tinkering around in design for as long as I can remember. And so I decided, okay, well, I need to figure out a way to make money at home so I can be home with these children. And so enter the world of online business. And I started on Etsy with really ugly prints that nobody bought, and that kind of developed over the last almost 8 years into a brand agency. And so essentially what we do is we help coaches and online influencers and people who have really good content brand cohesively across their platforms. So we help them develop a core message and core brand pillars, help them uncover their skills and strengths and what kind of business is best for them, and coach them through the mindset issues that people have when they're deciding to live differently, and then actually help them implement into design and a website and social media rebrand and all of those things. We have gone from essentially me doing logos on my iPad to like having the entire package from like idea to launch in the last 8 years. So I've got a couple team members on, which is awesome. So it's not always me, only me, which is good. And my husband quit his job about 2 years ago and came on in the agency with us. And so he kind of functions as like a board of directors type role where he helps me with finances and big business decisions and that type of thing. And yeah, we get to work together every day and hang out and play with our kids and we homeschool them. So we have a very weird, slow, non-scheduled, non-structured life.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been really cool to see the evolution of your brand and your business like change. Cause we met, like Lila and I met in 2012.
Yeah, which was only about a year into my business. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you had an Etsy a print in your shop and I was gonna buy it. And by the time I went to bought it, they were different. Yep. It was like an ice cream cone or something.
Oh my gosh. They were so
yeah. Like totally not in at all what you do. I started doing like longboard designs.
Yeah.
I did like artwork and fine art things on longboards. Yeah. That didn't last.
Yeah, I think that most people think that they can just start and have exactly what they want or exactly the type of business they want when most of us just put stuff out there and kind of tested things until we found something we really liked.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the question I get asked from people the most, like business-wise, is like, how do you find the thing you love? And I always just tell them, just try literally everything. If you're like, I think I'll like to crochet, just start doing it and just try it.
Yep.
Because you'll find out real soon if it's like your forever thing.
Yep. Yep. And you'll find out real soon how scalable it is. And if you like start burning out, you'll know like, okay, this is not exactly what I want to do with my life. I do not want to be sitting and stitching beanies for the rest of my life while I'm still don't make enough money. And you find out really quickly once you actually start putting in action and like steps to actually do the thing.
Oh yeah. And you'll see quickly if even if the steps are complicated and it's harder to scale, if it's something you love enough and you're willing to put the effort in to make it possible, you'll also find that out.
Then you won't. Yeah, exactly. You won't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm stitching beanies all day. You'll think this is wonderful. I get to stitch beanies all day.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I think the reason why I'm so attracted to your branding and to your message and why I wanted you on the podcast is because the way that you talk about branding is so applicable to just growing as a person and uncovering what it means to grow well is so much of what your branding is about in talking about understanding your core values and your core beliefs. And those things are so crucial to grow well, like as a human. And I think that's why I'm really attracted and I really admire the work that you do because you do so much more than just make pretty things. Like you coach people, you walk them through that mindset. Like you are like helping to facilitate their growth process and their journey. And so my question for you is how do you like intentionally pursue growth in your own life and in your own spiritual walk or in your own home? Because you have so many hats that you wear.
Yeah.
How do you focus on that?
Yeah. So it's actually interesting that you bring that up because this past week or so I have felt like a burden, from the platform that I have. So it's not very huge. Like I don't have a huge platform, but people listen to me and people are, you know, like they hang on, like there are some people that hang on every word I say. And I've been feeling that burden, like, oh my gosh, people actually listen and intake what I say. And so what am I actually saying? And is it actually helpful? And is it actually true? It's been a season of like slow work, but also just slow, like living. And we've just kind of, we've tried the whole hustle thing and I hate it. And so we've kind of learned how to like, just, you know, take it slow and inhale and exhale and kind of, be in that flow. And I've gotten lazy in some ways. So this past couple of weeks, I have felt like I haven't been taking in the content I need. I haven't been reading my Bible like I should. I haven't been studying God's word. I haven't been personally developing myself. And so I feel like I don't have much to give to my people. Mm-hmm. And I realize like, oh, okay, I can't just give and give and give and not actually go in and let myself be filled and let myself you know, realign with who I am and what God has called me to and all of those things. And so for me, I always tell my clients this, which is hilarious because I'm bad at doing it myself, but this is what I tell my clients is personal growth always comes before business growth. You will hit a cap very, very fast if you're trying to grow your business, but you're not focusing on taking care of yourself and making sure that you have what you need and you are treating yourself as the visionary, as the CEO of your business. You'll run out super fast because you're not actually coming from a place of service and a place of where you feel equipped and full to actually go serve people. You will run out super fast. And so I always tell them to focus on, like, if you're feeling stuck in your business or you're not making the income you want, or you're not, you don't feel aligned with your packages, or you don't feel purposeful, like you're doing what you're called to, always go back to your own personal life and where are there holes? What are you missing? What are some of the things you can do to facilitate growth and nurture that area of your life? And I mean, spiritually and emotionally and physically, and maybe you're not working out, maybe you're not eating well, maybe you're not, I don't know, reading your Bible or getting in touch with your, you know, your mental state, whatever it is. Usually if you're not growing in your business, it's because there's a hole in your personal life. Mm-hmm. And so I help people kind of walk through that idea, kind of not on purpose, like at first. Like, you talk about how, like, my brand is helping people walk through that process. And it's been, I think, up until last year, I don't think I realized I did that for people. Yeah. And it wasn't until this year that I actually called it what it was and added it to my packages, because I haven't really realized that was the thing I did for people, but it's something that I'm naturally good at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes sense. It's something that, I think on some level, God calls all of us to like be able to identify where we do need rest. Mm-hmm. I can see so many parallels through everything you said in plant care, because my brain is planting growth. But I just think that the parallel to be drawn there is no plant is going to put out new leaves if it doesn't have sunlight, if it doesn't have water, if it doesn't have the proper nutrients in the soil. And it could bare minimum just have the tiniest bit of water and the tiny bit of sun and just kind of keep on trucking along and just sort of surviving and maybe maintain the growth. Some of it might die. It'll look decent, but it won't die.
But it won't flourish. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And the flourishing happens when that fertilizer is added, when that water is added, when the right light is added. And those are the things, like, in our personal lives, like reading scripture and investing in our people and taking it slow. So I think your message is incredible.
Yeah. And we get so caught up in the hustle and we think that, oh, we have to do all the things. We have to have all the funnels. We have to have the systems. We have to hire the coaches. We have to do all these things. And while those things are great, and that's a structure that a lot of businesses work in, it might not be the structure that you need for your business. We want to scale too fast. We want to grow too fast. We want to hire team members too fast. And sometimes businesses take off and that's okay. But usually those businesses that take off super fast, they still have that growing pain stage where it's like, okay, how do we actually do this? How do we not burn out? How do, you know, we like not be stressed out and freaking out about the next thing we need to do? How can we actually enjoy those stages? I know for me last year, it was our biggest year ever and we scaled like crazy. I brought in team members and I didn't enjoy it at all. And I look back on that and I'm like, I had so much going for me in that season and I couldn't enjoy it. Like, I couldn't, because I was always worried about the next client, getting the next, you know, person in the funnel, getting the next email list subscriber, growing, getting bigger, going. And I never stopped to just breathe and enjoy it and be okay with where I was, because I was always looking for the next thing. And so there's a balance there, right? We have to pursue our goals and work towards what we're going to. But I think that usually, and especially in the callings God has for us, the growth is way slower than what we want it to be.
Yeah. Plants for about a quarter of the year put out no new growth.
Like right now when it's really cold outside?
Yeah, the less sun that there is, the less that they eat, the less that they need water, the less that they produce growth. So they still might show growth, but it's at a much slower rate than it would be in the height of summer.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, rest is really essential.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been sleeping a lot lately. And I know that that's not the same as just like rest in general, like actually resting your mind and all those things. But I'm trying to take most of December off. I'm trying to work like one day a week. And I just lay down a lot and like hang out with my kids and go on walks and take drives. And it's all very slow paced and it's different for me because I'm used to just going.
Yeah, I am too. I think I thrive under stress. Mm-hmm. And when I say thrive, I mean, I think I'm doing great and I think I'm enjoying it. But when I stop and look at it, I'm not really thriving. I'm really just trying to get it all done.
Yeah. And my mom had this joke when we were kids where whenever we stopped and like rested that we got sick. Cause we would just go and go and go. And my parents were hustlers and we were homeschooled. So we had free time to just like always be doing stuff. And we always had a schedule, like packed schedule with school. We had like a co-op, so we were homeschooled, but we had like classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of had like a full schedule. And then whenever it was a break, whenever spring break came or Christmas break came or summer break came, like we got sick because we like our bodies shut down and then didn't know how to function in that state. Mm-hmm. And I'm still carrying some of that from my childhood, I think.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to let go of that because we like seeing what looks to be like,
we like productivity.
Yeah. We like checking the boxes off. We like being productive. We like accomplishing tasks. And those are good things to do under the right like pretext.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're in a stage like I was last year where you just don't even stop to ponder anything and you just like keep checking the boxes, mm-hmm. you look back and you're like, well, I accomplished a lot of things, but did I actually enjoy life?
Yeah.
And was I actually engaged and present in life? Not really.
Not really. Yeah. And I think that's applicable to even outside of business, like just in whether you have a 9-to-5, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, it's really easy to vie and itch for the things that we don't have or the things that we want to accomplish or the goals we want to reach. Mm-hmm. But recognizing, trying to do our very best to be happy in the place, maybe not happy, but just still in the place that we're in, mm-hmm. I think is, if you can be happy in that place, all the better. But sometimes that's easier said than done.
Yeah. And it's okay to want more. Like it's okay to know that right now is not what you want it to be. Motherhood taught me that. Like when my kids were young, I did not get everything I wanted to do done. And I think about it sometimes that I can get stuck in that trap where like, if I hadn't had kids, I could be on Oprah right like this year, you know, like I could be so much farther along, but because I had kids, I had to take things slow, especially in those first couple of years. So it's easy to get caught up in that. But at the same time, they taught me how to do life slow and to enjoy every moment and to be aligned and present as you're going, not just when you get to that, like I'm doing air quotes, like that point where you make it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me think of when you plant a field for harvest, like crops. And I think there's a verse in scripture about it. I'll have to find it. But that you... every 7 years, you want to either have a different crop or have a rest period.
Right.
Because otherwise those 6 years of growth won't be nearly as full as they can because you have to add new nutrients to the soil and aerate it. And there's like all kinds of things that happen, like scientifically speaking. But there's a lot of lessons to be learned, like on a spiritual or a personal level. That relate to exactly what you were saying.
Yeah. We're surrounded by fields and farms and it's like almost different almost every year. The fields have something different in them because they'll kill the soil. Like it just like drains the soil.
It'll leach out all of the like main nutrients that one plant needs and then that plant doesn't have the things that it needs.
Right.
Yeah. And that's I think I love that metaphor because it goes to show that there's still value in your hard work. Like you will still produce good crops when you work hard, but being intentional about the way that you approach that hard work is what matters the most.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. If you were to tell somebody like one thing, what would you want them to like walk away with after they like take their headphones out? Like, what do you want them to remember the most from this podcast episode?
That you are probably exactly where God wants you. I think that sometimes we think that we are out of alignment with God's calling for our lives. And I actually just wrote about this in my Facebook group. Sometimes we feel like we're like either behind our head and like, we're not where we need to be. And we know we're called to this thing. For me, like I know I have this huge calling on my life and it's not happening yet. And it's been like a year since God put this on my heart. And I'm like, okay, God, like, when are you going to make it happen? And he's like, we're still growing you. Like, I told you this so that you could be preparing, but we're not ready yet. And like, I am not a God of rush. And that's something that my mentor has told me a lot. Like, God is not a God of rush. He's not going to just like throw you in there and say, like, good luck, figure it out as you go. He's going to make sure that you're prepared in every season. And so if this, you're in a season right now where it feels like nothing's happening for you, or you're outside of God's calling, like, obviously check for disobedience there. But usually when you're in line with God and you're pursuing him and you're, you know, in his word, and you're not being blatantly disobedient, usually you're just in a season of preparing. And it's hard to rest in that, but it's good for the future you.
Oh, for sure. I feel like I have seen that, especially in the last maybe 2 years of my life. I, since Brian, like, Revive Nursery began out of Brian being like, my husband, asking me, what is the thing you would do for free all day long and, like, never complain about it? Like, what is that thing? And I immediately was like, gardening. Duh, I would just garden all day. But that's, like, not a real job. And his response was, how do you think the whole world eats? Like, gardening is so important. But, so that has, like, launched in the last, like, 2 years basically of me trying to uncover what that means. And I've, like, gone through so many renditions of that, and I've laid the groundwork. And I was just telling Brian the other day, I feel like the last 2 years has been all foundational work. Like, God has been refining my heart and calling out in me what he wants me to, like, be more vocal about, and refining my mission. And I am, like, I feel like God has given me the go ahead to, like, take the next step forward. Like, I am at a place now where that foundation is firm, and yes, it's going to change. My business and my goals are going to look different in the future. That's just how you grow.
Right.
But it just feels like I am now kind of on the other side of that, ready to walk into the next phase of, like, taking those bold steps forward and making those big connections and, getting the traction that I need to grow. And that would not have happened had I not, like, said, okay, God, like, I'm willing to take this slow. Because, and that really was my heart. I think I kind of kicked and screamed a little bit about it, but my heart was, help my success be your success, God. Like, show me what you want your goals to be, like, done through me. And that has been my prayer. And if I am walking into something that I don't need to be in, just take it away. And I think that's kind of what God did when I had candles for a while in the beginning of Revive Nursery. It's something that I love, and it's something that I'm excited about, but I have a tendency to turn everything into a business. And it's not always great. God just took that away from me in, like, a beautiful, incredible, like, loving way. He took it away. And I'm so glad that he did, because now he's refined me into exactly where I need to be. And that wouldn't have happened had I tried to rush it.
Yeah.
Or at least not in as graceful as a way as it had.
Yeah. I think we get frustrated with the natural flow that God created in life. Like, I mean, everywhere there are seasons, and everywhere there's this ebb and flow, and it's not all high all the time, and it's not all low all the time. And for, like, if I was being cynical, I would say, like, it feels like it's low most of the time, and then there's, like, these moments of high, but that's not true. And that's because I'm in, like, a low valley right now where I'm just, like, waiting.
Right.
But I think when we're in those valleys and we're in those seasons of waiting, it feels like that's all there is.
Yep.
And I think
it's really hard to see up the hill.
It is really hard, even though, like, you just came from a hill probably, you know, a year or a few months ago or whatever.
Right.
You're in this valley and it's so dark and you're so alone and you feel so frustrated. And I think that in our, like, human flesh, we forget to be obedient in those times. Mm-hmm. We forget to just keep walking and just keep, like, hoping for the mountain to show up and be there. And, like, God isn't cruel. And I think that our doubt and our lack of faith in those moments proves to ourselves, like, that we don't fully understand God. Because if we really understood who God was and how much he loved us and what he was kind of carving us into as we even go through these valleys, we would have a less of a hard time, like, being frustrated in those valleys.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think too, the biggest thing that has been, like, life-changing, that feels dramatic, but I'm going to stick with it, in these last 2 years is you, honestly, is, like, you and you're the mastermind that you've built and the community that you have sort of, for lack of a better word, like, forced upon me, like, you really, like, pushed me out of my comfort zone and out of my excuses and called out from inside of me, like, something beautiful, because you called out to me, like, not my own self, but, like, God within me. And so that leads me to ask you, do you want to share about the thing you have brewing? Because,
yes.
I think that what you're about to create and what you're about to launch is going to help everybody else's 2 years of taking it slow and having a hard time figuring out all of the crap, especially in business, make it so much better and so much more helpful. So
tell us all. And so, I mean, essentially, like, this is what the church is for, right? We need the community around us. Mm-hmm. And in my experience in church and in Christian community, like, there's still a lack of community that is specifically for people like us who just decide to do life differently and decide to build businesses mm-hmm. online and selling whatever we just want to sell.
Yeah. And, under our own pretext and under our
own. And so I feel like these, like, the church is segmented from this space. And so my goal, and Zach is going to be joining me in this, which I'm really excited about, will be like equal founders of this. We're building essentially a community, and we want to build a community of people who get together in a large sense and then also break out into small pods. So there'll be masterminds you can be a part of and things where you can be a part of a group that's service-based, you can be part of a group that's product-based, you can be part of a group that is specifically photographers or designers, depending on how big we can make this community. You're going to be paired with people who either understand your dreams and desires and goals, or are actually in your similar industry and can help feed off of each other. And it won't be specifically Christian, but it's going to be focused around your calling and what God has for you and the things that you are already innately equipped with. So we're going to dive into spiritual gifts and personality tests and all of that kind of stuff. And we're going to walk you through the process of uncovering what your business should actually look like and how you can intertwine your faith and your calling and the things that you know are, you know, your mission in life into a business structure. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the overarching goal for being a part of the community. But it's also just to not feel so alone, because I think so many of us feel alone, and there's a lot of different voices in our heads and a lot of different people on our feeds. And it's hard to not, like, or it's easy to let yourself get isolated. Mm-hmm. And so the goal would be accountability and getting you in a circle of people who get you and have similar beliefs, but also beliefs that will challenge you and get you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So we're calling it The Forge, and Dusty knows the name took forever to come up with. It did.
We were back and forth on the name for, like, forever. Just hours peering at thesauruses.
I know.
Picking up synonyms of fire.
Yeah, like all of the words that have to do with heat, flames, fire, all of it.
All of it. Yeah. I think I know more synonyms for the word fire now than I did.
Than any other word.
Yeah. and the whole English language.
Yeah, and so the idea of The Forge is it's a place where weapons and tools are created, and it's a place where you can come and be refined. And then it also, the word also means, like, to forge ahead. So, like, in, like, a storm, or in, I always picture, like, a cornfield, like the leader of the cornfield kind of, like, forges for people. Mm-hmm. And so people who want to be, like, those trailblazer influencers and people online that have a strong message that they actually, you know, believe in and want to get behind and want to partner with people in. So we'll focus a lot on messaging and visibility and how to have a brand that is core to who you are personally, but also is a message that people can get on board with. Mm-hmm. That's really where my strength is. Like, as much as I love design, as much as I love, you know, creating logos and picking colors and putting it all together, I'm really good at seeing those things in people and helping them, like, bring them out into a tangible way. And so this is me trying to multiply myself in having I'll eventually have other teachers come in and other coaches come in and run these masterminds. And then we'll get, like, you know, I'm assuming, like, I'll do a training a month, or we'll do, like, open office hours where you can just ask me or Zach any questions, to just kind of have that space that is not on a social media, that is just, like, in its own. We're possibly going to have an app. We're possibly going to be in Slack. We're still kind of working out the details of all of that. But I'm really excited, because I think it's something that is really needed, and it's a space that no one's filling right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that we have everybody has their own sort of definition for what community is, and for the kind of community that they think that they need or that they want.
Yeah.
And to be able to bring it back to sort of a biblical viewpoint of, like, we are the church, like, we need to function and operate as a team that inspires each other and sort of lights a fire under each other's butts and, like, gets us moving and asks the tough questions in a space where we don't feel threatened, but instead feel encouraged to think deeper. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited, because, like, I am so confident that's what this that's what the Forge will do for the online space in a really big way.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think a lot of us, especially those of us who are believers, like, we just need someone to remind us of truth. Like, we just need people in our life who will be honest and tell us when we're having a bad day, or when we lost that sales, or that sales call, or when we, you know, missed out on this opportunity, or when bad stuff happens and you have to, you know, like, go into debt for your business. Like, what are these things that we struggle with? How can we get together as a community and speak truth into those areas, and not become overwhelmed by being isolated?
Oh, for sure. When we're by ourselves, it's not only easy, it's just tempting to believe the lies that...
And to just wallow in our own self-pity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it feels more comfortable in that place to just be sad about it, or to be upset or overwhelmed or frustrated, or any of those, like, just really negative emotions, because then at that point, it's not refining you, and it's not serving you, it's not growing you, it's just bringing you down. And to be able to have a space like the Forge where people can call out in you, like, the goodness that God has created for you, or help you identify what is true about the situation and what God has to say about it, will be really
big. And we've been reading Romans together, Dusty and I and another friend, and we... Like, I've been reading through that, and the one verse that popped out to me was where it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And I was like, all right, that's Romans, right? I read that in Romans. Maybe I read that somewhere else. All right, if it's not Romans, I'm sorry.
I will look it up.
Okay. But it's the do not be, and I think it talks about the world a little bit in Romans, if that's not.
It does. Yeah.
But essentially, I was thinking about it. I was like, it's so tempting to follow the pattern of the world. And what if... God is so creative, and he made us so uniquely that we don't need to listen to the gurus and build our businesses like the gurus do. What if we could tap into the Holy Spirit's power in our own lives, and we could build these businesses from a place of 100% uniqueness and creativity based on the skills and the talents and the giftings that God has given us? And what if we had a community of people who thought that way and helped each of us construct these things and make these cool things, whether it's a business or a brand or an idea or a fundraiser or foundation? What if we had the community where those things were birthed? That's kind of what I want to see happen. That's kind of my vision for it, is to do life and do business differently, not based on what the gurus say we need to do, but based on who God made us to be.
Yeah. And that's really powerful. Yeah. You need people to be able to spend weeks looking up synonyms of fire for you.
Yeah.
to come up with the right name.
Yep.
Because that's where, like, connections are made. That's where good ideas are born. Like,
and so many bad ideas come out of
so that. Many bad ideas. So something that stands out to me in what you just said is that Paul was a tent maker, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. He had his business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a business outside of his message. And I can guarantee you that that message that he had to share. So Paul is an incredibly influential man in the Bible, and spoke a lot about the truth that God has to say for people. I am certain that that message that he had to say that we read about within scripture was said through the process of building tents.
Yeah.
Like, I am 100% confident that he lived that out within tent making and tent selling and his family. Like, I know that, like, that was part of it. And I think that, that just feels really inspirational to me, because the idea of having your own business and the idea of pursuing your dreams in that way is not new. It's right. Not like a foreign concept. It's just that we have to approach that differently, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming
because our tools are different.
Exactly. And I'm assuming that, I mean, people like Paul and Lydia is mentioned in Romans, and I love the story of Lydia because she's a rich, influential, powerful businesswoman, and she basically funded Paul's entire ministry. Like, she was a huge part of not only funding it, but also caring for him along his routes. And I aspire.
His biggest Kickstarter backer.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She was the one who swooped in and made sure he met his goal, you know?
Nice goal, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, she probably didn't fall into that. That was probably something that she, you know, decided she wanted to do one day and started doing it, and then built up the reputation of being a great saleswoman in town and could get you the finest linens and, you know, all of these people we hear of in the Bible, like so many of them just tapped into what God called them to and the mm-hmm. skills and the talents and the giftings that he gave them. And then look what God did with those things.
Oh yeah.
And I think that, and that's kind of the concept of the forge too, is like the idea that fire spreads. And when we are lit up and equipped in our own like flame, we can then go share that with other people too.
Yeah. Like leaders making leaders, disciples yeah. making disciples.
Yeah. There's a great book called The Hero Maker that essentially talks about how disciples and leaders, like you're not a legit disciple or leader until you've made another one. Mm-hmm. And I love that concept.
That makes sense. Yes. What's it called? The book called
The Hero Maker.
Hero Maker. I'll yeah. add a link to that to the show notes for you guys.
Yeah. It's really, really good. And it challenges our like comfortable Christianity, I think, mm-hmm. which is always good.
It's important. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to get a little too comfortable.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lot too comfortable.
A lot too comfortable.
Yeah. So if people want in on the Forge, even though it's in the early stages, how do they get involved like right now?
Yeah. So right now I have the domain, but I've not built the site. So you can just go to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind. And there's a lead form there. You can just sign up. And that's essentially just, you're going to be the first to hear about it via email.
Okay, cool. And I'll have a link to that also on revivenursery.com/podcast. So if you want just direct links to that, just go to the show notes and we'll have all of this stuff so you can get in contact with Lila and get involved with the Forge and follow her journey.
Woo!
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to end all the shows. I've been trying to think, like, how can I bring it back into the, like, plant stuff? And I thought, what if I could answer your plant questions?
Mm.
So what is your plant question?
Yeah, I said in the form repotting, but I had another question for you that I thought would be good.
Ask me it.
Okay. Does singing to your plants actually make them grow better?
Yes.
Really?
Okay, so yes and no. So I have not read all of the studies about it. I am not an expert about it. But what it does is it changes the frequency of the air. And I believe, if I understand the study correctly, is that it's kind of like wind. So the wind changes the frequency and the movement of the air. There's been studies that show that it does help. There's been studies that show that it doesn't help. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it does.
I think it does too.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I think so.
I mean, our world is spiritual and physical and emotional and all of these things. And I feel like we think we can live in these little pods, but I think everything affects everything.
Yeah. I was reading a study about how plants have kind of, or that it's a study, so it's still being learned about. Sure. So I'm not speaking in any hard and fast anything, but that they might have some form of a memory, not like they have like a soul or feelings, that's ridiculous, but that they have some form of way to remember some form of data. So like probably like climate-based things and that's what causes that sort of microevolution as they like adapt to their environment or acclimate to their environment.
Okay.
It's just an interesting topic. I don't really know how much weight's there. Probably not a whole lot. But nonetheless, I think it's awesome. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, God designed atoms, and atoms have littler things inside of them. And like,
oh, I'm sure there's more stuff in there. We still don't even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're talking like quantum. Ways. Now we can get super nerdy and just put quantum in front of everything.
There you go. Yeah.
Quantum plant growth.
Did you ever watch Quantum Leap? It's like super
tacky
TV show from like the 80s. No. Oh, girl, you gotta watch it. You would really love it. It's very like sci-fi slash weird.
Is it poor acting? Because that's definitely like, I have to watch the poor acting sci-fi show.
Oh, it's really bad.
Awesome.
It's really bad. It's basically this about this guy who is, he died, I think, and then God, like in the show, says that he kind of fulfills him the role of like an angel sort of. So he takes on the bodies of different people in different like domestic situations. So like not in like a creepy way, but like he kind of possesses, for lack of a better word. Everything I'm saying sounds creepy.
Super biblical.
Yeah, none of this is biblical at all. So like, for example, there would be like a family and the like parents are like in a huge marital dispute. He would come into the body of one of those spouses and sort of act as that person and like help them resolve those issues.
Crazy.
It's really, really interesting, and it's crazy and weird and awkward and so tacky, and you would love every second of it.
Awesome. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to add it to
it. But it has the word quantum, so that was like a huge tangent.
Quantum is just what they use, especially in like the Marvel universe, to describe things that they can't explain.
They can't explain. They're like made up crap we like to think about.
Yep.
Yay for creativity and imagination.
Yep.
Okay, ask me your repotting questions.
Okay. I have, what's my spiky plant called? The one that's like.
You have a bird's nest fern.
That one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's getting too big for its pot.
Like, you just repotted it a couple times ago.
Yeah, but it's like giant. It's like falling over the edges giant.
Does it have a drainage hole in the bottom of the pot?
I don't think so because I bought a concrete pot.
Okay.
But I have.
Concrete pots are easier to add drainage holes to. You just have to get the right drill bit. Sometimes you can go to hardware stores and ask them to drill a hole in the bottom of a concrete pot because it won't crack the pot if you have the right drill bit.
Okay.
And I think the same is true for terracotta, but I don't know what that drill bit is.
So how do I know when it's time to repot it?
So I would say hold the plant by the base of the plant, especially a bird's nest fern. All of those fronds come together in like a cone or a cylinder in the center. Mm-hmm. Hold it by the base of the plant so that your thumb and your finger are around it. And so it kind of like you're choking it underneath it. And then tip that pot out. You might have to kind of jiggle it and wiggle it out. If when you pull it out, if all of those roots are really smashed together or coiled, especially if they're coiled.
Okay.
Around the pot, then it's time to repot it up. Okay. If they're just kind of like crumpled but not super tight, there's like good amounts of space where you can see dirt in between the roots. It's not like a coil of roots or a wall of roots, then leave it for a while.
Okay. So essentially it's not about the leaves on the top it's about the roots underneath.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And also you don't need to repot your plant as often as you think.
Okay.
So once a year is a lot.
Okay.
To repot your plant. So when you repot your plant though, you should go up 1 to 2 pot sizes. So pots are usually measured in increments of 2 inches by the diameter. So I think yours right now is in a 6-inch pot, right?
I think it's 8-inch.
8 inches. Okay. Yeah. So then the next time you go up to probably a 10-inch pot.
Okay.
10-inch pots are huge. They're going to be like a foot across probably.
Okay.
Oh, well, almost a foot because it's 10 inches.
How big will bird's nest ferns like grow?
They'll dwarf themselves a little bit to the size of their pot.
Okay.
So
if I wanted to get bigger, could I repot it?
Not until it's ready.
Okay.
So you could kind of force it to grow slower by waiting to repot it for a little bit longer. The reason why you want to repot your plant up a size is because all those roots take up so much space that there's not enough air in the soil. It's too compact and there's not enough space for the soil to hold moisture long enough to feed all of those roots.
I see.
So when you repot it up a size, especially if the roots are coiled or really tight together, you want to just take the bottom and squeeze the plant. And it's okay and maybe even best if you break a few of those roots as you do, because what it does is it tells the plant like, oh no, I have an injury, and it puts a ton of growth there. And then it will establish healthy roots in that place to fill up its new pot.
That's just like the human body, like the skin will do that. That's why we exfoliate, because it triggers like new growth.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Look at how everything's connected.
I know. Most people don't know, but I am a trained esthetician.
I know. That's awesome. Cool. I like answering plant questions. This is a good way to end it. I was thinking I could also do like a quiz, like a lightning round, answer all these questions. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, that sounds like... What if somebody gets overwhelmed or stressed by that? I'm a lot to take as it is.
Do that test where it's like a word association.
Yeah.
Make them say one word.
Oh my gosh. I might do that too. Just not like tell people.
Interrogation.
Just put them really on the spot.
Yeah. You're not being interrogated. You have them sit under your pink light.
Pink light. That's a great idea.
Oh, another question, if you want to add this in there, I suppose.
I sure do.
We don't get a lot of sun here. Mm-hmm. So like literally with my fiddle leaf, I've been moving it back and forth because the sun goes like across my house and there's 2 windows that show the sun halfway, you know, like one part of the day, the other one is the other part
of the day. So you probably have windows facing east and west.
Yes. And so that was a way more compact way to say that. Should I get a light for it?
Yes.
Okay.
So you, the way that plants absorb light, it doesn't always have to be sunlight. Your regular old fluorescent bulbs will help. No. And I actually just have released an episode. So it's episode 7 with Daryl Chang from the Houseplant Journal. And we talk a whole ton about sunlight. So if you ever have any like light questions, go back to episode 7, guys, because it was really, really like information packed episode. But the gist of it is fiddle leaf figs. And also I actually just recorded earlier today an episode with Claire from the Fiddle Leaf Resource, about fiddle leaf figs. And so that episode will come out pretty soon. Awesome. And so I'm excited about that. I think it will be episode number 9. So for reference, when you guys look back at that, but fiddle leaf figs are from West Africa. So that's like right along the equator. So, so, so much sun. Like
hot and sunny.
Yeah. Hot and sunny. And, so fiddle leaf figs need the absolute most light available that you could possibly muster ever in the world. Okay. So yes, is the answer to that question. There's a lot of options within what kind of a grow light you can get. Most of the grow lights that are inexpensive are going to be pink or purple. Okay. But if you don't want one and you want to spend a little bit more, there are a few companies who offer really beautiful modern grow lights that I believe are LED focused, and fluorescents and things that, okay, are white.
Sweet.
And they have beautiful pendants. They're really gorgeous. Mm. My goal is to eventually buy one. But they're kind of pricey.
My kitchen sink doesn't have a light over it, so that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard people growing citrus trees indoors with these lights and having like thriving growth and getting oranges and lemons and limes indoors, and they need tons and tons and tons of sun.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And that would be a better solution than moving your plant around, because moving it back and forth can sometimes shock your plant.
Oh, whoops.
It's fine for now. Like the conditions in your home aren't going to be super drastic from that one side to the other side. But getting a light would be better.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. What is something that's making you so super happy outside of the topics we just talked about?
I don't remember what I put.
You put on here movie dates with my kids.
Oh yeah. So, okay. I'm going to butcher the word, but the Swedish word, it's like, it's spelled kind of like your last name. It's like Hoeg.
I think it's Heige is how you say it.
I thought it was Heige, and then I heard it from some actual Swedish person, and it's like Hoega. I can't say it.
Yeah, because my last name is H-E-G-G-E, and this word is H-Y-G-G-E.
Yeah, so I thought it was Heige, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Oh,
so
I'm sure you're probably right, because I'm not.
We need to, like, play the pronunciation.
Yeah. The amount of time I spend on Google looking up, like, how to say botanical names. Epimeriumorium.
Yeah, those are Latin, so. Yeah,
nobody knows how to say
nobody knows how to say it.
Yeah, anyways, what are you saying?
But anyways, we live in Wyoming, so it's freaking cold all the time from October to, like, May. But there's a chance of snow. There's a very high chance of snow. Mm-hmm. And it's very cold. And for, like, a month out of the year, we get, like, negative 20 temperatures, like, just constantly.
That's insane. And I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's just starting to get into, like, the really cold season. And my kids and I have been, like, Netflix is just, like, killing it lately with the kids' movies.
Yeah, they are.
We'll just, like, cuddle in bed on all my big fluffy white pillows with, like, tea. My kids love to drink tea. And we'll sit there and watch cute little kid movies. And I just love it. It just makes me super happy. And I know it's super simple. And I have felt bad about that being the most happy thing in my life lately, but it really is.
Don't feel bad about it. Love it. That's the season you're in, right? That's a good thing to love.
Yeah. And this age,
your kids are going to remember that.
I sure hope so. Yeah. This age is my favorite so far, 4 and 5. Like, I was not a baby person, was not a toddler person. Like, this is like, okay, you can stay 4 and 5 forever. Like, my daughter lets me, like, braid her hair, and my son likes to give me kisses still. And I'm like, I love this.
The sweetest. Your kids are so sweet. Lila and her family stayed at my house for a couple of days, and it was probably just the highlight of my year.
Yeah, same.
Our kids played together. We drank coffee. We watched the Tramp.
Yeah, that was great. I loved, like, one morning we just got up and all the kids were just like crashed on the couch. I think you put on Lion King.
Oh,
we were just,
yes,
like, it was under blankets with coffee. Yeah. And it was just like, can we just live here forever?
Stay forever. And we have a big sectional that just, like, hugs you when super you sit fluffy in it. So nice.
It's great.
It's okay. We'll do round 2 in a while.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed. Maybe we'll come to you next time.
That would be awesome.
Because you've come to me twice. Sectional.
I have. It's true. I have a semi huggy sectional. It's not that. Not that huggy, but
we'll bring the hugs.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. Tell people how they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook. Well, actually, don't go to my Facebook. I'm almost out of friend room. So go to Instagram or my website, which is thehigginscreative.com, and you can connect with me there and get on my email list, which is something Dusty is helping me get better at. So
yeah, we just did a whole training today.
Yeah.
Email's my favorite.
Not my favorite. So excited.
It's okay. It's okay. It will be once you find a good system. That's how all seasons go. I feel like as you learn a new thing, it's hard at first.
That's true.
It's hard at first. Yeah. And then go to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind to sign up for the Forge and get involved in this community. Cause like I 100% guarantee you guys, it's going to change your life. Like,
yeah, that's like right now. At least.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I can't wait. Thank you for coming on and for hanging out with us and for talking all the things with us.
Thanks for having me.
We had so much good content.
I know. I love it.
Didn't you gain so much from that conversation? I certainly hope you did, because truly it feels like such an honor to share it with you guys. I love her heart. I love her mission. I so deeply appreciate her ability to be really honest about the hard and yucky things in life, and particularly in business, when we think so easily that starting your own business or forging your own path is going to be easy and glamorous, or maybe not easy. Maybe we expect the hard things, but we don't expect the mundane things, or we don't expect that it's going to take so much more time than we had thought or so much more resources than we had thought. Maybe we expect the hard things because the hard things sound a little bit more exciting, or maybe a lot more exciting than the monotony of it and the like having to wait and all of those things that come into building a business. And I know that from my own personal experience, when you do those things alone, it's even more excruciating of a process. Like, it's so much harder. It's truly, it just challenges you in more ways than you need to be challenged when you're by yourself trying to do it. And that's why I believe so deeply in what Lila and Zach are doing through The Forge. I personally joined Lila's mastermind, I don't know, 6 months ago maybe, and since then I have seen my own heart change radically. I have redefined my idea of what success really means to be so much more aligned with who I know God is and the kind of success that I know God wants for me. And maybe you're not an entrepreneur, but maybe you still need that message. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom or whether you're working a 9-to-5, is your idea of what success is truly aligned with Christ's idea of success for you and what it means to grow well and what it means to grow slowly? And even in those seasons when we grow fast and things are crazy and hard and busy and it feels like there's so much growth happening, is that growth healthy growth or is that growth starving for the light? So I really encourage you to think that through today and head to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind to sign up to get exclusive access to, well, not exclusive, but first early access. And I believe that they have an introductory price that will be a whole lot less than it will be once it launches to the rest of the world. So if you want extra secret access, extra early access, head to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind. And if you can't remember all that, just head to my website or see the show notes and you'll be able to see that URL right there. So you can click through it and head right over, because I want nothing more than for you to head there and to learn more about this resource, particularly if you're in the stage of your business where you've got some early foundations laid, you know kind of what direction you want to head, but you might not know how to make that come to life, or you're feeling really alone in that space, or maybe the people around you don't get what you're doing and you're having a hard time articulating to them why it's important that you're doing what you're doing. So head to thehigginscreative.com/mastermind to learn more. And since you're heading to other places, head to iTunes and leave me a rating and a review. Really, truly, it means so much. And I really need more ratings and more reviews in order to get this podcast in more people's hands, because I think that God's going to do something incredible through it and I can't do it by myself. Like, I need your guys' help to be able to do that. So leave me a rating and leave me a review. It would just make me please this punch, guys. You can go to revivenursery.com/podcast to get all of the show notes, to follow me on Instagram, on Pinterest, on all the places. And this week, I hope you grow well and get planty.